I am covered over with a robe of righteousness that Jesus gives to me. I am covered over with the precious blood of Jesus, and He lives in me. Oh, how good it is to know my Heavenly Father loves me so and gives to me my Jesus. And when Father looks at me, He sees not what I used to be, but He sees Jesus.
For all of you that have been familiar with Pentecostal churches or Spirit-filled churches, you're very familiar with the first portion of chapter 12, and Paul lists 9 manifestations of the Holy Spirit. And I like to use that term because that's what Paul used, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to everyone to profit with all. It's to our advantage that the Holy Spirit dwells in us, and there are various ways He manifests Himself. And we've been studying the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament and the Holy Spirit in the New for months downstairs. And we're coming near the end of that, probably within a week or two. But this week, the Lord directed my eyes to the next portion after that. So from verse 11 down through 26, and it has to do with the body of Christ. I'd like to read it in probably a verse at a time, because it makes reference back to what Paul had written in the first 11 verses, where you see the manifestations of the Holy Spirit listed. And how many of you are familiar with those? Am I in the wrong place today?
Yeah.
Okay. So we don't need to go back and see all those again? All right. Starting in verse 11, it is the same and only Holy Spirit who gives all these gifts and powers, deciding which each one of us should have. And I think this is very important, because when you understand it's the Holy Spirit and He's the one who chooses to manifest Himself, it prevents a lot of issues that happen and a lot of fellowships where people get envious of the gifts, the skills, the talents of others, and they begin to strive after or follow after somebody else, not realizing that God has gifted you as well. And in the body, there are many gifts. There are many skills. There are many talents. And now Paul starts beginning to break this down a little bit. And this is good for all of us to hear, because these things have helped us over the years to, when we come together, there is such a real love in this place. We can't make this happen. We just cooperate with it, because it's the Spirit's presence here, not only in us and among us, but just the fact that He's here. And when we come together, you're going to discover over the course of time words that Paul used, fitly framed together, fitly built together. It's God who sends us to where we meet. And He doesn't make mistakes. If you came without the Holy Spirit telling you, well, enjoy the visit. Otherwise, you're hooked for a season. You know, and our life is a season. So verse 12 says, our bodies have many parts. And so he's about to unfold like a visual diagram, if you will, of the body of Christ as a living organism. And no matter where you go in the world, no matter how many Christians' homes you stay in, no matter what languages they speak, we're already one with them. And that's why all the traveling I've done that God has graced me to do, it doesn't matter where I am. And as another brother or a sister, I already know I'm home. Sometimes the only English word we could understand to each other is hallelujah. That's an international word. And wherever you are, everybody knows what that word means. But it says our bodies have many parts, verse 12, but the many parts make up only one body when they're all put together. So it is with the body of Christ. And this is really helpful in preventing the enemy from seeking to cut in and divide and separate us. Oh, wouldn't you like to be Sister So-and-so? Why, she has the most marvelous gifts. Wouldn't you like to be like her? And soon people's eyes begin to wander and they get off and they start looking around and start being jealous, start being envious. And you know that's very subtle. But we've been here almost 36 years in just a couple months. And I've seen a lot of stuff come through the body of Christ. And I've tried to be a watchman if I was aware of something and bring it to our attention so that we don't fall into that trap. You've been gifted of the Lord, and there's no one else like you, so don't try to be like anybody else. The one wonderful thing about being here is we have the freedom in Christ to be free to be who you are and who He's made you to be and to flow in the gifts, the skills, and the talents and abilities that He's given you. If you got something to say, put your hand up. The whole world goes on hold. You're up. We really need to follow this to honor and esteem each other more highly than ourselves. And these are all parts of Paul's vision of the body of Christ. The ones he used to take and throw in prison. And then he got saved. I think that fall off his horse did him good. He finally saw something. Each of us, verse 13, I have the Living Bible because it just breaks it down in everyday words, and I like that. Each of us is a part of the one body of Christ. That's why I've never, when we planted this church, we never had denomination in mind. We had Christ in mind, with an understanding that we're members of His body. What else do you need? What else can you join? Of all the organizations in the world, what is the one organization that you could quote-unquote join or be adopted into that's going to benefit you the most, not only in this life, but the one to come? That's why Jesus' name is big on the sign. That's why the church was named Renewed Life in Jesus. We wanted the name to mean something. It plants the seed. Do you know how many checks the treasurer writes out in a year's time, and somebody has to take that check out of the envelope and record where it came from? Renewed life in Jesus. Not renewed life in Baptist, renewed life in Presbyterian, but they can't be saved anyway. Their name's too long. You know, all these names. But it isn't like that. It's renewed life in Jesus. Man, get a grip, you know. If we want to be no-name brand, that's good. We're the no-name brand. We just love Jesus.
No, we're that church.
That church. Oh, that's big in Chester. We're that church, yes. That's an honor. I always thought, well, the next time the letters start weathering off the sign, I'd get my paint out and come down and just scribble all that out, just put that church on the sign with a phone number. But, you know, over the years, we've come to really understand God's vision for His body. And that's what we're really after. That's the most important. How does our Father see us? What does He have in store for us? How can we be an effective part of His body? So here, each of us, verse 13, each of us is a part of the one body of Christ. Some of us are Jews. Now at the time this was written, some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles. Some are slaves, some are free, but the Holy Spirit has fitted us all together into one body. I could say some of us live in Springfield, some of us live in Bellis Falls, some of us live in Chester, some of us live a greater distance from here, but we're all here in one place in one body. We've been baptized into Christ's body by the one Spirit, capital S, and have all been given that same Holy Spirit. There are so many things that we have in common in the body of Christ. We don't have to compete. We got the best. We're in Him. Amen? Yes, the body has many parts, not just one part. Verse 14. Verse 15. If the foot could say, I'm not a part of the body because I am not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. So be careful if you come in here one day and say, my feet are killing me. Because I'm going to say, what weapon did they bring to do it with? But there are people who look down upon themselves and think that they're not as good as somebody else. They're not as qualified as somebody else. They don't have what you have, and they desire, and they feel less important. I remember Jesus saying someplace that in a dispute in a family, let the one that seems to be the least esteemed to solve the matter, because they're not all hung up on themselves, and they'll be able to see the matter more clearly. And what would you think if you heard an ear say, I'm not part of the body, because I'm only an ear and not an eye? Would that make it any less a part of the body? Suppose the whole body were an eye. Then how could you hear? Or if your whole body were just one big ear, how could you smell anything? Hey, I didn't write this. I'm just reading it. Daddy wrote it. He wants us to really, really get this down in our spirit so that it's very meaningful. And it shows you when God calls you His beloveds, He really means that. And you need to, I know I say that a lot, but really start seeing yourselves the way your Father sees you. Because therein everything else, all the shackles just fall off, all the inferiority complexes disappear, all of that striving disappears, and you get the joy of being an ear. You get the joy of being a foot. Oh, and you better be careful how you speak about feet. Because my Bible says how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news. So compliment your feet. If you go around bringing bad news, cut your feet off. If you're the person who brings good news, take your shoes off and admire your feet once in a while. I got beautiful feet. I know I do. I've seen some ugly feet, but mine are beautiful. Or if your whole body were just one big ear, how could you smell anything? I said that. But that isn't the way God has made us. I'm liking this translation. It's just really real, isn't it? I get word pictures. They're almost like parables that I see. But I just envision these things the way it's written. But that isn't the way God has made us. He's made many parts for our bodies and has put each part just where He wants it. What a strange thing a body would be if it only had one part. Boy, maintenance would be pretty easy. Can you imagine a car just with one part? Take it to the dump and the part's finished? You know, but you can go to auto body shops and you can buy. Oh, we can do that now too. We can buy body parts. That's pretty cool. That didn't happen 50 years ago. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for people that need body parts because we can go get them in the shop somewhere. Amen? That's not what this is talking about. You can't be bought with anything more precious than the blood of Christ. And He's paid the full price for you. So you're fully equipped, fully made, well paid for, and there's nothing wrong. Go home today and just enjoy who you are. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. Ask a blind man how valuable hands are. And you think about that in the body of Christ. You know, the eye also refers to the apostolic ministry. Sometimes a lot of these are connected with what we've learned over the years, the fivefold ministry. But you know, there's 11 other gifts that go along in the same portion of Scripture. It's just that those are mentioned. The apostolic has the eye, the vision, and the prophetic ministry, I like the hearing. I don't know if any of you have heard any of that kind of teaching before. Maybe some of you have. But once you get past the five, the rest of them feel like there's nothing left for them. But God didn't make his body like that. There's a place for every one of us. And the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you, otherwise you'd just be rolling around. You'd be a victorious Christian. You'd be on a roll if all you were was a head. Oh, come on now. Can't you have a little fun today? Lighten up. Getting the word, huh? And some of the parts that seem weakest and least important are really the most necessary. And I absolutely love that part because we all know somebody that just feels like they can never measure up. They're not good enough. They're not like somebody else. And you know, as believers and brothers and sisters, it's so important for us to learn how to cover those people with your grace and with your mercy and with your compassion. Don't look down at people. Look up to them. Yes, we are especially glad to have some parts that seem rather odd. I'd be really more specific, scripturally peculiar. Are you peculiar? I am.
Amen.
Yeah. Ask Faith how many peculiar she would like to be to try to be like me. She's probably glad to take a week away sometimes. And we carefully protect from the eyes of others those parts that should not be seen. While, of course, the parts that may be seen do not require the special care, sometimes we put people in categories, high maintenance, low maintenance, somewhere in between, depending on where a person is spiritually. That's not a hard thing to say. It's just that people who have matured and aged in their faith, if you will. You're like good Vermont Cabot cheese, the strong kind. You know, you've aged. You've acclimated to the life of a believer. And so, if you want to put categories, you'd be maybe low maintenance. In other words, it doesn't take a lot of interaction with others to keep you up and running. You've learned a lot of stuff. And that part is not a problem anymore. But then, the more you grow and the more you know, the more useful you can be to helping others. See, there's always something to do in the body of Christ. There's always another person that needs you. And they need what God has equipped you to do to help others. And that's why I like being here. I discovered early in ministry, wow, I can come here and I don't have to do everything. What a concept. Boy, so many churches, their leaders don't think like that. They take all the burden and all the worry and all the fretting and all the anxiety and making sure that you all just be quiet so we can manage you nicely. And I got this. And then they're burned out 3 years later. I don't get burned out. I come here and get burned up. If I see the Holy Ghost moving, I'm going to be the first in the river. You'll have to trample me to get in the river before me. Because I love this. I love that freedom we have in Christ. And along with that, there is responsibilities. Like I spoke at a visiting, I visited a church in Connecticut, and they have a lot of volunteers and a lot of staff that we don't have. And I made the comment down there, don't you come in and complain about dirty windows. The Windex and the paper towels are under the bathroom sink downstairs. Help yourself. Whatever you see that needs doing, do it. You know, those are really practical things. But I can relate to the body as easily as Paul can. Because we're smaller, but there's still needs. You know, if you see the floor dirty, there's a vacuum cleaner back there in that corner. I can't do everything. I'll do my best. But I need help once in a while. The yard work, the snow shoveling, all these things. But you see, we're a body that's well equipped. We've got things spiritually that we haven't even barely begun to uncover yet. While, of course, the parts that may be seen do not require the special care. That's why I said they're not so high maintenance, if you will. So God has put the body together in such a way that extra honor and care are given to those parts that might otherwise seem less important. And who do they seem less important to? Themselves? Or the way we see? That's something to think about, isn't it? Mm-hmm. This makes for happiness among the parts of the members, so that the parts have the same care for each other that they do for themselves. As much attention as you give yourself, keep enough available to show somebody else. Amen? And if one part suffers, all parts suffer with it. If one part is honored, all the parts are glad. And I really see a lot of these things here. But it's because we spent a lot of time learning how to function as a body biblically. And that's made all the difference. And that's why there's such joy in the house. But if one person's got a heavy heart about something, it won't take 5 minutes and somebody else is going to pick that up in the spirit. And you won't be fighting that battle alone. You'll have others that'll be right there by your side to gird you up, to lift you up, to pray with you, to pray for you. So there are times when you might find that if you're an eye in the body and the things that you see, you may have difficulty in whether the Lord is revealing that for you to pray or for telling everybody else what you see. So some of these require great responsibility and how you function in them. But don't be neglectful in finding out what your gifts and skills and talents are that God has given you, because that helps us all mold together as one. That's why Paul used those words, fitly framed together. Any carpenters in the house? What would happen if your walls in your house weren't fitly framed together? What would happen to the roof? That's right, Joe. So apply that to the body of Christ. We'd collapse. We'd fall apart if it weren't for each of us. We need each other because God needs us. This isn't probably a traditional Christmas message. That'll be next week, maybe. I don't want to prophesy something I know nothing of yet. I don't even know what's going to happen this afternoon. I can make all of these big plans, and you know what happens when that happens.
Rick, this reminds me of the stone wall I can look at out the window.
Oh, wonderful.
There's some big stones out there that seem pretty important. But if it didn't have those little stones, they would all fall over.
You listened really well. Yeah, we often look out the windows and see parables. Because sometimes the big stones forget who holds them up and who decides whether they're big stones or not. Jesus called Peter a little stone, and the whole Catholic Church was formed on Peter. What a big mistake. That's got one big shaky foundation, I'm telling you right now. It was founded on the vision, the revelation that Jesus Christ is the foundation on which the church is built. In our lives, in our fellowships, in anything Christian that we're affiliated with, if Jesus Christ is not the foundation on which it's built, get out. Run. Because the roof's going to fall in on your head one day. Be alert. The world needs more alerts. Well, you didn't get that. No. Be wise. Be bold. Be confident. In you. And those around you that you encounter during the week. We never know. I've been telling you week after week about the backslidden priest that I've been bowling with for this season. And he was so broken. Very low self-esteem. Came to the place where he had nothing positive or good to say, and yet he served the Lord for years and years. And nobody wanted to befriend him or bowl with him. He was like a castaway. And then I found out I would be the blessed one. He was assigned to me to bowl with me. But I told you the fishing is really good in those kind of places. And I am so glad, because there was a breakthrough in this man's attitude 3 weeks ago. And you know what happened? We went from 8th place out of 8 teams to 3rd place out of 8 teams in 3 weeks. Ever since his attitude changed. So if you got a bad attitude, let God take care of that, because there's a greater measure of life yet to be experienced. And it all is in how you look at your day. But I can tell you that there's nothing wrong with the day. It's a beautiful day. God made it for us. True. The problem is us, and it's our attitude sometimes, and we just need to let God tweak it. Tweak it or jerk it, whatever we need. Yes?
Can I say one thing I saw with one of the songs there?
Yes.
It was the one where all the hands were raised up in worship.
Yes.
And then there were like these, looked like shadows. You could think it's hands in the background. Mm-hmm. And I felt like God was saying that was fire. It was fire, like the anointing.
Yes.
From Acts. And yes. It was right in the midst of the people. And I felt yes. like he was saying that was for us.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, God inhabits the praises of his people.
Mm-hmm. Right there. Those shadows.
Yep.
That's the fire. His spirit.
Yeah. I don't get to see those pictures over there, but I do if I put them up on the screen when they send me the songs and I can load them up. But yeah, the pictures are very much meaningful. And thank you for pointing that out. So raise your hands and worship more. It feels good to get loose. Good for the shoulders. Oh, we use that in bowling too. Shake it off. Shake off all that crud the devil tried to put on you this week. You know, just go bowling with the King. Want to pray for anybody that needs prayer?